You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I left a reminder there that you owe $150. You only put $20 in, so
I get $5 change on this as he continues to. Did we find anyone $50 for killing Charles Bricker?
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
You owe $120.
Fine, he forgot his wallet, so that's another.
No, I paid $10 from yesterday.
I left a note, $150.
You did leave right a note, $150.
Well, there's $20 there, so now it's $130.
You did leave a note, $150. Yes. What are these fines for? Like, can I get a more detailed accounting of these?
Well, yeah, I'll scratch out the $150, and now you owe $130. Yeah, so that's going to be detailed. Okay. It was yesterday. Your phone went off like four times. I mean, twice. Okay. Well, it's $75 per. So $130.
Well, and then remember the no wallet situation.
Oh, yeah, the no wallet. So actually, you're right, Billy. It was 50-50 for the phone going off, 50 for the no wallet. So that's 150.
Your math is no good.
Your phone today. What? So you still owe 150. I didn't have to do anything. I mean,
well, the phone today was to remind him of topic. Did you set 50. Like a timer? Cool.
No, it was
170.
What ended up happening is I wanted to turn my phone off, and in not being able to turn my phone off quickly, there was a beep, and I had to go back in and get some information that was only on my phone. And so when it beeped, and you guys disoriented me because you like to annoy me while we're doing the show, and I'm trying to find information, yes.
That's you want to know a strange fear I have?
What
I don't
that, Billy?
Know if any of this is going anywhere, but
everything.
I have a fear that if I turn my phone off, someone close to me will die. Like, I can't turn my phone off because I will miss a call that's like, this person is like gravely ill or something. We need you to do something.
You always have to be connected, like, in the event that good bad news can come your way.
Yeah, because I don't want bad news to come that I've missed, like in the middle of the night, like, oh, this person, blah blah blah, and I don't want to say anything because I don't want to curse anyone, but like, it's like a fear that if I have it off and people can't reach me, something bad is going to happen and I'm going to miss something that I need to be at because my phone is off.
But I've never heard your ringer on before. There's a distinct difference between...
No, I don't think my ringer has been on in... Well, I had it on yesterday, but before yesterday, I don't think my ringer has been on in like 13 years. I have not had a phone that, like, I don't even know what my phone sounds like when it rings, the iPhone. I don't think I've ever had an iPhone that has the ringer on. It's always been vibrate, going back to my BlackBerry days.
No one tells you when you're first arriving at either email or text that your phone habits are going to totally change. We very quickly escalated to people barely listen to voicemails. Like, it's just missed call. And that's all I need to know. Somebody tried to reach me.
The power move is not even setting up your voicemail inbox.
Right.
And so, like, there are people that just don't even hit the button on the... It's two buttons on the iPhone to set up your voice. It's like, nope, not doing it. Don't want voicemails.
I need it because I don't answer the phone if it's a number that I don't know. Because right. There's so many spam calls now that I just assume it's like someone asking me to donate to something or some sort of warranty is about to run out. So, like, if I don't have the number saved, I don't answer it. So then I know if they leave me a voicemail, like, oh, it was a doctor's appointment, or oh, it was this or that or whatever. But like, I need the voicemail just for the calls that I don't pick up, thinking they're scam calls.
I get mocked if I leave a voicemail. I do.
Your voicemails are completely useless. I don't want to bring this out in the open. Your voicemails and your texts.
I do it on purpose. I have to be honest.
Absolutely useless voicemails and texts that you send. You'll call like 18 times a day, and it's like I'm in the middle of doing something important, and Stugatz is calling, and it'll just be like, I can't get it right now because I know this is going to probably turn into like a 30-minute conversation. So like, I know it's not like maybe I'm doing something right now. It's like I have something in like 5 minutes, and then I need to figure out how to kind of balance this. So then, like, the voicemail's like, okay, cool. He left me a voicemail. I'll see what it is. I can handle it. Reach out. I'm like, oh, hey, I got it down, whatever. He's like, hey, buddy, call me back. And it's like, no, like, this doesn't help me.
That's why,
Or you just text like, hey, I called you. Give me a call when you get a chance.
And what it's
like,
should I say? I mean,
just hang up the phone. We know you called.
No, just send me like a brief, summary, like bullet points. Like, this is what we're going to discuss. And then I'll have answers.
Leave a text message.
Yeah. You know what? It's rude just to call and not leave a voicemail.
But the voicemail says absolutely nothing.
Stu, there's no info. I'm here to tell you, cultural norms have changed.
Right.
I will not be offended if you don't leave me a voicemail. Jessica just showed me she has 15 unlistened to voicemails on her phone. I have 13, and 4 of them are from Stugatz.
I feel like it's a waste of a call if I don't say anything. Like, I do. I have to say something.
You have to wait like 15 seconds for, you have reached the voicemail inbox of 954, blah, 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 blah. Please wait after the beep in order to, like, you're listening to that over and over and over again.
All right, that oh my God you heard was Jessica looking into Billy's phone and Billy showing this. Billy, I noticed this yesterday and I said it out loud. You will, and I don't know if you know this about yourself. You must at this point. Certainly the people who love you do. You will consistently take the hardest route on things. So producing Stugatz is the hardest thing. And when you show Jessica your phone, how many messages from Stugatz do you have of him just saying, hey, buddy, call me, social norms change, cultural norms change, but I never will.
I just showed her the number of unheard voicemails I have on my phone. It's 317. I'm never going to hear them. But at this point, I'm never going to hear them.
So then just delete them all.
Well, I mean...
couldn't you just delete all?
I don't want to. That's kind of like the strange
thing. He's a hoarder.
Now, it's not that I'm a hoarder, but like, and this is like a weird place to take it. But like, I have voicemails on there. It's like my grandmother called me to tell me happy birthday and she died last year. So it's how do I save that? I don't know. So it's just going to stay on there until I get a new phone or voicemail or whatever.
You just checkmated me.
Yeah.
Because you can't delete all and then one day realize, oh, I wanted to talk to Awela. I wanted to listen to that. Her voice, and I've deleted all.
And I have doctor's appointments that maybe one day I'll want to go back. I think that was a good appointment. Let me see how they were calling to remind me. You know?
That was a good appointment.
I think we should explore how the different habits with the phone have changed around here, because Stugatz will leave voicemails till his dying breath, because it's how he's done it. And even if they are
I love a good voicemail.
Meaningless voicemails that don't say anything, it's 80 seconds of him listening to himself talk, and he enjoys that. And someone will record it and have it, and maybe they'll have 310 of them, and his voice will be somewhere, his legacy will be somewhere for posterity, because he farted a useless message into your machine.
I'm not doing this because I know what follows this, because we've done this before when we had that voicemail line set up at the station. Like, and I'm not doing this so that we play 800 of those today, but it started out as a bit where I was like, this is the ticket talk back line. You call in and you leave a voicemail with the sports take, and we're like, Stugatz, you shall infiltrate it, right? And like, the idea was do one, and then since he loves voicemails so much, he was doing 80 a day unsolicited, and then told us how great they were, and they were all 9 minutes long, and it's like, Stugatz, like, not what this idea was.
All right,
not the thing.
Thank you, Billy, for bringing this. This is not what I was trying to do, though. I know you weren't trying to do it, but I just want Whittingham to see what he can find here. Only because, Billy, I know you don't want this to be out in the sphere, because it seems like a consistently bad idea to let Stugatz talk for 9 interrupted minutes. But Stugatz does like to hear his voice that much, and the reason that happened on his drives home is because he had a lot of opinions and he wanted to do a sports show into the ticket hotline
right.
on his ride home. Because
we weren't talking sports.
Well, we did a whole podcast episode, I think, one time that was Stugatz just driving home because his drive was so long and he just wanted to talk to people. So we're like, just call us on your drive home and we'll see what's going on.
We should have a 1-hour podcast episode one day of just Stugatz's thoughts, just his commute, just the length of his commute, just him talking to himself, doing a show for people.
I'm in.
Like, I'm serious.
Can I leave at 10, though, if we do?
Let's figure out a way to make it so that Stugatz can have his job be yet easier, just leaving these unspooled ticket hotline takes into eternity that don't make for good content. It's too long because tell me, Billy, what was the idea? The idea is that Stugatz couldn't help himself, would get in with a take quick and easy and would win the contest because he was better than the callers.
I don't even remember what the purpose of the caller line was other than to make people feel like their voice could be heard, I guess, by you guys. But ultimately, it was just going to like some voicemail. Then Tommy Ferrara had to go through and like figure out one or two and like maybe use one. Great. And then Stugatz, we didn't tell them we were doing it. And then they had to comb through like 80 people did it because this was like in the Big Three era. So like people down here were like really excited about sports and the heat at the time. So Stugatz like was just kind of dropping them in. And then it became like like a hidden picture almost, where it's like, how do we even find what Stugatz did in here?
But to answer Dan's question, I think the original reason we put it in was the live callers weren't great. So we were trying to offer an avenue where, hey, you can call anytime you want and we choose the callers and hopefully we find some gold. Unfortunately, I got in the way.
And when I ask you, Billy, why does this idea never seem to work when in my head it always works? Which is, why can't we go back into the library and just grab a random Stugatz take from the past, from wherever it is that it existed? And I want people in the audience to imagine this is a real and live Stugatz, not allowed because we were doing a weird show to have as many sports takes as he wants to have. And so they just overflow and spill on his ride home into the phone, correct? Like, that's what's happening here, where Stugatz is just giving he's doing 10-minute radio segments that are the Cowherd act, correct?
Yeah, he was doing his own show, driving home. It was supposed to be a quick 30-second thing, but turned into he was doing extra shows. Yeah.
I love the headline on this first one that I found. It says, Stugatz dismisses Chris Broussard's report of Cleveland being the frontrunner for LeBron James to return.
Oh, that was a doozy.
Hey, Dan, Stu on a mobile phone at the plantation. Hey, listen, I was thinking it's a good thing, and I love it. It's a good thing that Chris Broussard's gut is now reporting things. His gut is now reporting things. Do you think his gut has a better chance of getting a report right than Chris Broussard has a chance of getting a report right? Because in my scorebook, Chris Broussard hasn't gotten a single report right in 5 years. So when you're not getting a report right, yeah, you should probably change strategies. And a good strategy is to go from using your sources or lack of sources to just guessing. It's got a better shot.
Good show.
His gut was right.
Yeah. Good idea,
Jessica. You've got me self-conscious, and I don't know whether or not this is a thing that happens with you, whether it's temperature related or boredom related, or just
I've been yawning nonstop. It's because I'm cold. Wow. It's like a body stress release thing because I'm
yeah.
very cold.
Yeah,
I've been shivering.
Yeah.
My thumb is numb. That's when I know I'm in a bad spot.
Well, can we get you? Can we get you something that would make
it? My DraftKings hoodie, BRB.
Make it less cold in here for you because you are one of the few people in South Florida who is feeling great cold. I went to the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert last night, Stugatz. It was you didn't think it would sell out. They sold out. They sold out.
Really?
They sell out a stadium, and they are great, and their energy is. I mean, those guys seem like they'll be able to do it for 20 more years. It was a great show, but the heat on an August night in Miami, and I know you've heard us talk about climate change and just the horrors of living in the apocalypse of drought and and, you know, scarcity coming and famine and flooding and everything else. It is too goddamn hot.
Yeah.
And it's so hot all over the world. That was so uncomfortable on a why are you laughing, Billy?
Well, aside from the drought, how was the concert?
You have a good time? Or...
they play some of your
Did
favorites?
Did you see Woody there? He was there.
Yeah.
Sweating the way I was?
No, you're on the floor, right?
Yes.
Speaking of pictures in the wild, there's a picture of you in the wild on the floor.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had experience with an August night concert. I went to see Coldplay like 3 or 4 years ago on an August night at Hard Rock Stadium. And so I knew, like, dress as lightly as possible.
Dangerous game.
Short shorts, like kind of, you know, loose shirt.
3-inch inseam?
What's up?
3-inch inseam?
No. Let's not get crazy.
5-inch?
No. What I was wearing yesterday? I don't know what I was wearing yesterday.
7-inch.
Probably something like that. I'm not fully getting with the modern trend of skies out, thighs out. But so yeah, you have to know going into an August night at Hard Rock Stadium that you're going to be sweating your ass, especially if you enjoy the show at all, which I do. I was talking to Billy. I'm like, for me, concerts are karaoke.
Yeah.
I go there to sing my ass off. And that I did, and it was great fun.
Do you? We were asking the question before we were on air, Dan. Do you study before a concert? Like, do you do prep? Not like to see the set list. I don't like that. But do you go and like start playing some of like the greatest hits or the albums to make sure like, oh, I know this song. I don't know this song. This is going to be one that everybody likes, and I want to be part of that moment where they stop and everybody sings the words. So I need to make sure that I know the song in advance because I like the idea of studying. But like studying when I was a student, it always leads to just cramming. So it's like I then intend to like, oh, well, like a week before I'm going to get the latest album so I can listen to it and I can know the words. And then when people sing and I can feel like I'm part of that moment. Right. And then I don't. And then it's like day of and I'm like rushing around. How do I make this work? Because I don't want to pay for a Spotify subscription.
It's all stressful to you. Going to a concert is very stressful.
Everything
to you.
Is stressful. Yeah. But then I get in the car and I'm like, I'm just going to listen to it all the way. But then I have to hit Waze and then someone calls me and I have to pick up the call because what if someone's going to die? Yeah. So
you can't follow along with the lyrics in the car.
Exactly right. Even though Spotify has like a feature.
Oh, yeah.
Spotify basically
it
has become karaoke. It's a karaoke machine now. Spotify.
I do my own little musical concerts now by myself sometimes. I just put on a song on Spotify and read the lyrics underneath. It's
sounds
the best.
Very sad.
So all of, well, I do it with Spanish like reggaeton. Like,
so do your 7-inch inseams.
Yeah. Whoa! Oh, hey.
I don't think, actually, Whittingham, I think there's a repression around here that will not and should not dilute Jessica's craving of song. Like, she likes to sing, and she does it better than any of us here, and I will not sing shame her.
Hey, not better than me.
Did you hear the Jets?
I will not sing shame her anymore. She likes to sing. Whittingham, you are repressed. You have to read your lyrical sheet before you go and have properly expressed joy through the circuits of singing karaoke song with the Chili Peppers.
So wait a minute. Like when you went yesterday, were you following along with the lyrics on your phone?
No, or did
you
know
because you studied?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's like 5 or 6 Chili Peppers songs that I just know from the top of my head. And so
they didn't do Under the Bridge.
I know, but they didn't do Can't Stop either.
Like there, bad there was concert,
there, right? Well,
and a drought.
So,
I mean,
so I learned this, Dan.
Maybe they're no longer addicted to the shindig.
Wow. So I learned last night, Dan. So the Chili Peppers do a different show every night. With
like the dead.
With you.
They don't do a different show every night.
They do.
The set list is different every night.
It's kind of like A, B, C, and D.
They rearrange the songs.
No. There's songs
that
like
too limited.
No, but there's two songs. We just said two of their biggest hits, Under the Bridge and Can't Stop. They just didn't do.
Okay.
And it's like for me, Clive, it was like if A, B, C, and D. For me, it was D. Like in terms of the song, I still had a great deal of fun, but like the A playlist would have been, we open with Can't Stop and we close with Under the Bridge and By the Way. Speaking of By the Way, and singing at concerts, you know that bit in the song where they get into the guitar and it starts like firing off words? One of my favorite bits of concert is hearing that song and just making up words, right? So it's like steak knife. And it's so the words are card shark, card chop, book, like, and so like I had no idea those were the words. So I'm just like going ba ba
Yeah. Okay, Jessica's now mortified.
Yes, to see the show. All right.
Whittingham, I'm gonna need you. I'm gonna need you to go to the penalty box right now.
Two-minute or five-minute major?
That's enough.
He sing-shamed Jessica, and then he shows you that he's in the mosh pit making up words like steak knife and baseball because his circuits don't know how to process
steak
joy.
Sauce.
So let me get back. Forgive me, because I want to get back to phone habits before we derailed through drought and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
So good show or not a good show? Fun. Being on the floor seems not like a great place to be for a concert.
Dan, you're also wearing long pants. Well, weren't you hot?
Jessica, yeah. But this is the thing, okay? As we talk about phone habits and we talk about aging and we talk about the things that happen, okay? I've been making fun of how your sports gas bags are going to age and Cowherd's going to get it wrong and Stephen A. Smith and Mad Dog and all the nonsense that happens as the young people come for everybody's stuff. And I'm 53 years old, and the last time I went to F1, I was trying to dress loose and comfortable. And
I knew it. I saw a picture of you on the floor, and you were in a much nicer outfit than the Grand Prix outfit.
Well, I just didn't want... I was embarrassed last time.
Dan dressed for Twitter. And I bet you planted that person in the stands so that they would tweet a picture of your outfit and redeem yourself.
Did you?
What kind of shoes were you wearing, by the way? They look nice.
No, they're just orthopedic, Nike, comfortable shoes. They're the best shoes I've ever had.
Better than the Grand Prix shoes, though.
Well, but this is what I'm saying. I was legitimately embarrassed, okay, Stugatz, when, you know, F1 comes to Miami and I'm supposed to be there as some sort of Miami ambassador. And I was embarrassed by how I looked, not dressing for comfort because of how hot I knew it would be. Last night, I'm dressing not to be comfortable. I'm dressing so that people don't make fun of me.
To not be an embarrassador. Sounded better in my head.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
I was afraid to say it.
Embarrassador. I like that. We need to create that as a character. Stugatz as an embarrassador and have him wander around in chaps and be an embarrassador.
Like literally bear ass.
Yeah, forearm. Yes, on behalf.
You got you down with that?
I mean, capable of shame, though. I mean,
embarrassador.
The picture of me walking across the street with a stick in my mouth. I don't even care.
He would be embarrassing all of us by doing it.
I would. Yeah. Tony, it's worth it.
Tony, I wanted to ask you something here because our show and Stugatz, this is your guy, my guy, and then a whole lot of things happen. Jorge Masvidal, we really enjoyed all of that ride in MMA, going into the circus, the silly fight tent, and Stugatz is going to weigh-ins and hanging out with The Rock. And Ben Askren, the fight that introduced him to us, even as a Miami guy who came from Kimbo Slice and the streets of Miami, we loved his story and the fight game. God, Stugatz, everything is made so much better when you have a story.
Yes.
And his story is and was a good one. He knocks out Askren with a knee, fastest knockout ever, and then ascends straight to the top of a fight game where Dana White will not share his money with anybody. Will not share it with the fighters, becomes such a big star with his mouth and Conor McGregor and his story that he is headlining again and again, and people want to see him fight because he moves numbers, because he sells like McGregor does with his mouth. He is 3-5
Correct.
He doesn't deserve any title fights. He's trying to talk his way into title fights. And Daniel Cormier, I thought, was very gentle about saying, come on, look, Tony, help me with this because I don't have the expertise you do here on MMA.
But he's a big draw, Dan. Like, regardless of the record, people tune in and watch and pay for his matches.
No, understood. He is a big draw, and in the age of Jake Paul, and you guys want to see Mayweather fight against Conor McGregor again, even though it's a shit fight and it's not real boxing, yes. Now mouths sell, publicity sells, and Masvidal figured out that game because, like I said, in his last 8 fights, he's 3-5,
right.
Stugatz. Like, he has not been a good fighter for a good long time. Never a story like it in the sport. Journeyman, at the end, gets to be a star. It's unprecedented, and he did it with a quick knockout. And so now, the thing I wanted to ask Tony, Daniel Cormier is such a pillar of representing that sport well, I think. I may be missing things. And I love Masvidal. I love that he'll say anything and knows it's a circus and it's wrestling. But Cormier just said, gently, I thought, Masvidal shouldn't get a title fight again. He shouldn't. He's 3-5. He doesn't deserve them. You wouldn't be giving it on merit. And then Masvidal goes after him with, guess you're still butthurt since I didn't do the interview you requested on your weak YouTube channel during my fight week. I know you needed my name to produce some sort of views since Ariel went solo and you became a has-been. Just make sure when Dana calls you and tells you to promote the biggest fight the current champ can make in the division, which is me, wear your best suit from DXL and make sure you do as you're told like a good boy. Maybe you'll get a treat from your master. Hashtag reason people watch on mute. That's pretty good.
Damn.
Talking your language.
I like that. Yeah. Hashtag fake life coach. Hashtag broke advice.
Broke advice.
So, Tony, what do you have for me here?
So, Dan, here's the thing. Masvidal's 0-3 in his last three. I know we see 3-5, but like realistically, he's 0-3 in his last three. And those were both to Kamaru Usman and then Colby Covington, who's number one contender in welterweight class.
They weren't close, though, right?
No.
He was never close in one of those fights.
No, no, no. The Kamaru Usman knockout was obviously knockout her around the world. The next one was on a short notice fight where he came in like 2 weeks out.
Right.
And then the one he just lost to Colby was a wrestling match, and that's not Georgia style. And then obviously we know what happened after.
Well, tell the people what happened after. It happened around here, right?
So Poppy Steak, one night, George gets wind that Colby, who's been talking shit, and there's been a lot of situations behind the scenes with certain people in his family, he basically said it was on site, and he rolled up on him and gave him a two-piece and a soda, and then there was charges pressed and, you know, all that stuff.
Jessica, what happened?
What does that even mean?
A two-piece and a soda? What do you mean?
Well, normally it's a two-piece and a biscuit.
No, this one's a two-piece and a soda.
Oh, wow.
You have to have a soda, because the biscuit, it's like,
that's true.
Too much, it's too dry.
Yeah, too dry.
Two pieces. 1-2 punch combo, and then the sodas for the way home.
Wow, got it. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm unfamiliar. Is it a two piece with a biscuit? What is it? What is happening here right now?
Well,
it's
a two Americas thing, probably, right?
Because it's always a three Americas thing,
right?
Yeah,
but I'm not going to upgrade it to three Americas.
It's three Americas, Dan.
Billy doesn't seem to be in line.
I haven't had soda in 4 weeks.
I'm so proud of him. Dan, we put that in the change
Unless
jar.
Unless we have a soda sponsor, then I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
You put in the change jar that he needs to drink less soda?
Yeah, sometimes. And then he's taken, you know.
Soda can kill you, man.
It had absolutely nothing to do with your change jar. It had more to do with the kidney stones that it caused that had me stop drinking the soda.
Right.
Tony was taking credit for bringing about change in your life, not the hospitalization that made you change your habits.
I was trying to tell him, hey, you know what? Maybe a little water, mix in a little, you know.
Billy, have you told people? Because I'd been meaning to ask you about the pain, the physical pain of the kidney stones. It's supposed to be horrific.
Worse than having a baby, I'm told.
No.
Lots of people.
No.
Oh,
take it back. Wow. I'm giving you time right now to take it back.
I've never had a baby, so I don't know. I haven't, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Tony, continue.
That's what people say, but obviously.
I'm going to save Billy here. Anyways, getting back to 2019, Leon Edwards and George Masvidal get into a fight backstage at the O2 at a card in London, right? So they've got this beef that's been brewing. Leon's been disrespected by the promotion. Nobody really cares about him. Nobody wants to give him a title shot, even though time after time after time he comes in and produces, right? He gets a shot against Usman in Salt Lake City, a place he's never even heard of. Kick heard around the world, knocks him out in the fifth round when the fight was going to be decidedly Usman's fight. He all of a sudden becomes, you know, welterweight champion of the world, and we're trying to figure out what his next fight is. Is it a rubber match, his trilogy match?
Stunning
with
to see Usman lose,
it
right?
It was honestly one of the biggest knockouts in the entire sport, right? Like, I don't think there's been a bigger knockout with the stakes being that high in, you know, the fifth round when his coaches are like, hey, you need to wake up. You're losing 4 rounds to one. Like,
and who your opponent is.
Yes.
And your opponent never loses
in this
spot.
A guy that doesn't
spot.
Get knocked out.
Not in this. Not when all you got to do is not get knocked out.
Exactly.
Like, you can't. If I tell you going into a fight, all Usman's got to do is not get knocked out, nobody's betting that he's getting knocked out.
Put it this way, Dan. The decision, Leon by decision on DraftKings, was plus 1,000. The odds for Usman to get knocked out were plus 550. right? So like there was a weird thing happening at sports books where it's like, hey, we're going to, like, this is Kamaru Usman's fight unless he gets knocked out. And obviously he didn't see that kick. He fainted left. All of a sudden that kick comes over and he's in the shadow realm. Like, he's in a different place. So George now is angling, saying, okay, I know I've got this beef with Leon. Now this all of a sudden takes me to another level on the title fight, because there's Colby, where we're not going to see Colby get another fight for a title. There's Khamzat Chimaev, who's an absolute assassin, who they're setting up with Nate Diaz in 279 to basically take Nate Diaz out of the promotion.
Still with the Diaz brothers.
But Nate is such a huge draw, Dan, that Ariel, I was listening to Ariel and I was talking with some of his guys. They're like, if Nate beats Khamzat, which is like a massive upset,
come on,
will we have a Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards welterweight title fight? Which is incredible because, as you remember, Dan, I know you're watching, Nate Diaz gave Leon Edwards a huge shot with like a minute left to go in the fight that almost lost the fight.
Why are we talking about these fighters who are in their late 30s? The Diaz brothers still
being ageist.
I mean, you asked the questions.
Tom Brady's 45.
I did ask the question.
A lot of shit's going on.
Fair enough. But the part I want to get into with you, Tony, isn't the mechanics of whether or not this is merited or not. It's, am I wrong about anything that I'm saying? I'm prone to side with Masvidal, his story. I like the cartoon characters who talk a lot, but this seems really disrespectful to Daniel Cormier, who is only respectful to people.
So that, knowing all that backstory that we just gave for the last couple minutes, there has been a sentiment, what I've read and heard and seen, there has been a sentiment with some fighters that DC has become corporate, has become Mr. UFC, where Dana gives him, and the company obviously works for ESPN.
Okay, all right, okay, I hadn't seen that, okay.
It feels like he's become a little bit more of the corporate suit rather than the fighter first kind of guy. So there has been some issues there. And George is just taking that to light and being like, hey, look, like, you used to be a fighter. You used to be a guy that would stand up for us. And now you're
but he didn't say that here. You're making that leap. These quotes don't say any of that.
Well, how is Cormier being respectful? I mean, certainly. I mean,
he's
fine.
He's just saying his opinion.
He's stating facts. He's stating the truth. I understand that. But Masvidal's a big draw. Tell Cormier to get over it.
Okay, but okay, what are you doing?
Well, I mean, who is Cormier to chime in saying Masvidal doesn't deserve it? Who is Cormier?
One of the greatest, you know, heavyweights of all time,
I think, isn't he?
Who's Cormier?
I know, but he's chiming in. So Masvidal is defending himself because that's what you do. Oh, you don't think I deserve these big fights? Stugatz. I deserve the big fights. I mean, and he does. Stugatz. Why? Because people tune in. I'll tune in.
All right, Stugatz, I really
no, you
don't
won't.
Think.
Stop lying.
It's done.
What? Stugatz.
Yeah. I mean, I was in his corner, Dan.
Okay, so you're going to try and
weigh in. I
mean, you're going to try and form the argument for Masvidal, bend over backward to mark the argument, when it's not about whether or not you get Stugatz. The way the title fights are supposed to happen are supposed to be on merit.
Right.
You don't get to just keep fighting for the title when you keep losing fights for the title. You know, that's not how that happens.
I mean, Rocky got a title shot.
Okay, there it is. Stugatz is only fight knowledge. Every time we're talking about the fight game of any kind for 30 years. Stugatz's only contribution is Rocky. Let's get back to the phone habits.
I have big news before we do that. Bruce Arians is on First Take right now. Bruce Arians. He said Tom Brady is throwing the ball better than he has in 10 years.
I mean, what does he know?
Arians has only been his coach anymore, for 3 years. I mean, BA.
He's not the coach anymore, though.
Better than yeah, but he's still connected. He's dialed in. Dude.
Does he know he's not the coach? Because another quote is, "This is probably the best roster we've had since I've been there." No one tell him or.
Back to the phones.
Does the Kangol go with Bruce Arians?
What do you mean?
Like, does it come back? Is someone else going to rock a Kangol, or is it? Is this?
I thought it was Samuel Jackson, and then it was. Is the Kangol done? You think it's going to be extinct with Bruce Arians?
That's what I'm wondering. I'm trying to think who
just
else
in the coaching ranks.
Is LL Cool J still doing the Kangol?
I don't think so.
He looks amazing.
Where is
it's
he?
Unbelievable.
I saw him. He was on the host of the VMAs this weekend.
Oh, really?
I participated in a pop culture event for the first time. in my life.
Congratulations.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Don Libertard.
And finally, Fruit Loops are all the same flavor, just different colors. I refuse to believe that.
Is that right?
I refuse to believe it. I mean, try the grapefruit loop and tell me that doesn't taste different than the cherry one, because it does. I love Fruit Loops.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Libertard Show. Did you know that all of Fruit Loops were the same flavor, just different colors?
Refuse to believe it.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Stugatz, I just love your complete undeterred, I'm going to completely bullshit about something I know nothing about. Like, literally nothing about.
What are you talking about?
You're just like, Dan, who's Daniel Cormier?
I mean, seriously.
And just like, who is Cormier? And that's your move. Your move is to always say, who is he? Yeah. What has he ever done?
He's a has-been.
And it works. It works most of the time. But not on this occasion.
No, it does on this one.
No, it doesn't.
I think it does on this one more than many of the other ones, because, like, I don't think that we have, like, a super, like, passionate MMA audience that's listening thinking, like, oh, they're wrong about this or that. Or
to
maybe
our
they
show?
Are.
To our
yeah,
show?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think
I don't think the hardcore MMA people are listening to this. I think they are. Really?
Yeah, I think hardcore MMA people are like in and among, like, we don't know who the hardcore MMA people are,
right?
But they're in and amongst sports fans.
Let me rephrase that. I don't think people are listening to this show for our MMA knowledge.
Correct.
So Stugatz can get away with bullshitting on MMA because...
But those are the exact people. They're lying in the weeds. They're waiting to...
Yeah, but I don't care.
DC's a transcendent star in the sport, right? Well, like, he's on the commentary team. Like, he's got his podcast. Like, there's people that know about DC that are just casuals. You know about DC. Yeah.
He's been on the show.
What sports are people listening to us for serious sports knowledge?
Good question.
Hockey.
Okay.
No.
Not baseball.
I don't know. Is there any?
It's probably just American football and baseball at this point.
Baseball, you think?
No, basketball.
I'm not even
sorry.
Certain.
Basketball.
Yeah, I don't even
80s
know.
Baseball.
Definitely not.
Oh, yeah, 80s baseball.
80s
yeah.
Baseball.
Absolutely. 90s baseball as well.
Yeah. It's a wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I did have to specify American football. I like doing that to people just to annoy them.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer in that right there.
I'm just saying with Cormier, don't you want to draw? Like, who cares about earned?
No, Stugatz, there are people that actually care about the merit of sports, believe it or not.
They do?
This last fight was actually
the
epitome.
Do the Live Golfers seem to care?
No.
Right?
No, they don't.
But I'm saying, wouldn't you rather have, like, Alabama-Georgia national championship game than Alabama-Cincinnati, even if Cincinnati earned their way there? You'd still rather have Georgia.
No, I don't. I'm not like a guy who's like, I'm picking the game based off the brands. I'm more likely to pick them based off aesthetics. Like, to me, if... Like, when Hawaii had that Colt Brennan season when he threw for 6,000 yards,
yeah.
I wanted them to play for the national championship just because... I like would love to have seen him throw for 450 yards in a national championship.
Right.
Not LSU, Alabama run into each other in a 10-7 contest. They've evolved since then. But I'm like far more likely to pick or like be rooting for what would be the best game. Like, you know, for instance, there was the North Carolina.
I want big brands. I don't want Loyola, Chicago, or George Mason in my Final Four. I want it to be Duke and Carolina.
Well, Duke and Carolina actually delivered a really good game.
Sorry.
No.
Stugaz, you want to see it once. Well, you want to see them win it once. Like an 11 seed.
Don't tell me what I want to see.
But March, college basketball is a different animal.
March Madness is totally different because you get that underdog and you have 3 weeks of story building up to that game. So at that point, you've fallen in love with an Andy Enfield at the moment. You know what I mean?
I understand
like
that,
sister Jean.
But Billy, get to the Elite Eight and then get the hell out of my Final Four.
Oh my
Seriously.
God!
But like, I don't want you in my Final Four, George Mason.
I think you're an outlier. I think most people do like seeing.
I don't think he is. Oh. I think if you look back and probably look at the ratings on Butler national championships because Butler did it twice, I imagine they were lower as a result. Even though Butler nearly produced one of the greatest moments in sports history with that Gordon Hayward half court shot that rimmed out. That was a terrible game, by the way. Like. That's the part about the college basketball tournament in particular, is a lot of those games are really bad. And that's what North Carolina Duke didn't have, which was it was an incredibly well-told story and a well-told game within that story, right? Like, that game was awesome. The narrative of North Carolina beating Duke twice to end their season twice was awesome. But for the most part, I think now we're at the stage where I've seen all the, quote, big brands in the Final Four. It doesn't mean as much because the story of Duke basketball isn't well told.
It's not the same. That's
the players are there for 7 months. So it's not like I've developed, like, when I hated J.J. Redick in 2006, that was a completely different thing than what it is now. Whereas now I would be way more invested because my investment in college basketball is 3 weeks anyway. It might as well be a 3 week story about some upstart team that I didn't know about before that could potentially win the national championship and do a thing that no one's done since Villanova.
Yeah, but Villanova was a Big East team. Like, so they were actually a big draw that year. So, like, do you want Serena Williams in the semifinals of the U.S. Open?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But there are more deserving players right now.
I guess the difference between the UFC and this is that Serena Williams, if she gets to the semifinals, will have deserved to be there. She will have won a match every other day for a week and a half.
Fair.
And we'll get to the semifinal. I think what we're talking about is you put Masvidal on a big card and give him a big, you know, prize fight above other fighters making more money than them, despite the fact that they're not better than them.
I think there's the last meritocracy that we have is UFC in a certain way where, like, if guys win their fight, right, like, they're going to go up. And there was a great disrespect to Leon Edwards because he used to fight and not get the love. And now that he has this love, now he's the meritocracy champion, right? But when you put up somebody like George in a pay-per-view sport, right, like, that's going to sell. A trilogy will sell. Nate Diaz will sell. But, like, it's in a weird spot where you have to make sure it's not Colby. It's not one of these guys that won't sell. So you're doing that both balance game of pay-per-view versus meritocracy.
But it's not a meritocracy then.
It is and it isn't at the same time.
So the merit is like how much money you make on pay-per-view buys.
For the company,
correct.
Yeah. But as far as fighting goes, like there's some merit there because best man wins.
So I have a question then because I don't know. For the fighters on the undercard, it's better to have Masvidal doing it because they'll have more eyes on them. Like, they would prefer for one of these fights.
From a business standpoint, they're clearly telling you it's better to have Masvidal.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Card.
Like, yes. For a business standpoint, yes. If they're making more buys, then for the people who are proving themselves lower on the lower levels, mm-hmm. It's better for them to have those fights because more people will see them.
Correct. Like, you want to be attached to a massive pay-per-view, right? Like, and that's what it is. Like,
Only a certain caliber of fighter get percentage of pay-per-views?
Champions usually only get pay-per-view points, or Nate Diaz, or Connor, somebody that's just too big of a star.
But even if
the people on the undercards don't.
But even if you're not and you're on the undercard, you're getting more eyes on you, which is how you would build your brand to then move up to that position,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's between being a kick-ass fighter, right, and then also being on cards that people want to see. Like, 278 was a card that everybody's looking around like, okay, like, this is kind of a weird card. There's not really any stars outside of Usman, but Usman cruises to victories all the time. And then this happens, right, and all of a sudden this is such a big card because of what happened. People on the undercard get more play.
So you'd want to be on a Conor card.
I'd want to be on a Conor card. I'd want to be on a Masvidal card. I want to be on a Nate Diaz card. I want to be on an Adesanya card for sure. I want to be on the card that Jon Jones comes back. That's like the first card that you want to be on.
That would be the biggest card.
Yeah. Oh my God. That would be
his first fight back.
His first fight back would break pay-per-view records.
How is the UFC doing as a star-making vehicle? I don't feel like I've heard a new name that like has really captured the attention.
Patty the Batty
was
Patty the Batty's awesome. Patty the Batty's awesome. Meatball Molly's awesome. Yeah. Here's the issue, right? There's been a wave of Dagestani Russian fighters that are hard to pronounce and hard to kind of get behind because they're not that promotable, right? The language barrier, the name barrier.
They're like, so scary, though. So scary.
Dan, like Khamzat Chimaev is probably a machine. Like, yeah. He is not a human being. He's just a Terminator. And he's going to take the welterweight division by storm. Okay. Billy.
I think he's a human.
No, I think he's like part of the witty mold made by machines and wires and whatnot.
No, he bleeds. Like, I'm with Billy. Yeah.
But what he's saying, man, the cultural stuff happening in that sport is great. When the fighting game is being dominated by Africans, or in what it is that Tony is talking about, which is these Russian Siberian robots that you might not want to fight, like watch fight, but are all elbows and knees and granite and will. And it's like, oh my God, how does anyone beat that crawling, that spider demon? You know what I mean? Like, isn't that what's happening culturally there, Tone?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, Nigerian fighters are having, like, obviously Ngannou, Adesanya, Kamaru Usman, like there's different waves in the UFC. And right now we're just seeing like a huge Russian Dagestani wave of, obviously Khabib's not fighting anymore, now he's retired, and he's bringing all these guys under him up, and that's where you're seeing all these like Russian wrestlers coming out of nowhere. They're 17-0. It's like, how? Because they're just fighting bears in Siberia.
Like Drago.
Well, this is, I need to get back to this because my frustration is Woody's frustration, Rocky, which is four. I want to examine for a moment just the lazy Siberia sloppiness and not knowing anything about what he's talking about and analyzing the mixed martial arts. He knows so MMA. Little that he says of Daniel Cormier. Who the hell is he? What has he ever done? Yeah, he knows nothing. His only knowledge is Drago, Mr. T jokes. It's Rocky. It's all I've got for 30 years. Every time you want to talk about this, and I know it's only been 20 years, but it feels like 30 when this is what you're getting. When you care about the fight game and you want to talk about it and you find it interesting culturally.
Oh, is this where you're going to become Larry Merchant again?
I mean, I cannot do a show talking about this with you when after 20 goddamn years, all you've got is Rocky. Like, you've supported me not at all on this subject. I've been waiting for 20 years for you to give me something other than Rocky when we're talking about this. And so your words mean so little that when I'm talking to you about Cormier, your response is, who the hell is he? And the answer is, one of the most decorated fighters in the history of f***ing fighting.
Overrated.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.